The day the sun stood still. Probably one of the greater proofs that God's Word is true, as far as the scientific community of today documenting that fact, that statement verifies God's Word is true. Many of you will remember that back when NASA was, it would have been, let's see if I got a date here. I remember it very, I'm going to say the later 60s or 70s. And we have this printed form. I was privileged. It seems like God has a way of putting me in the right place at the right time many times. But we had a counselor in this city that when this was first reported, that instantly wrote this astronaut and asked for, a scientist rather, and asked for, well, he was both, if this was true. And 3 or 4 months go by, and here comes this handwritten letter, said, of course it's true. But the least you could do is send a self-addressed stamped envelope. If you want to ask a question like that, they bombarded me, you know. But it goes as this. U.S. astronauts and space scientists at Greenbelt, Maryland, were attempting to determine the position of the sun, moon, and planets 100 years and 1,000 years from now. In order to do this, they had to plot the orbits through past centuries. They ran the computer measurements back and forth over the centuries, and suddenly things came to a halt. The computer signaled that there was something wrong, either with the information fed into it or with the results compared to standards. The computer was checked and nothing technically was found. The computer continued to come up with the same discrepancy. A day was missing in space and elapsed time. A missing day. Science were dumbfounded. Scientists were dumbfounded, and science also. There was no answer. One of the team remembered a biblical reference to the sun standing still. On checking, they found in the book of Joshua a passage concerning Joshua's concern because he was surrounded by the enemy. And if darkness fell, they would overpower him. Joshua asked the Lord to make the sun stand still in the midst of heaven and hasten not to go down about a whole day. The passage was read again, and the scientist observing it said, about a day. That did not account for the missing 40 minutes. And that's important to you. 40 minutes. It had to be found because in projecting special orbits, it would be multiplied many times over, the arrow would. And someone remembered a Bible quotation about the sun moving backwards. In 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah is visited on his deathbed by the prophet Isaiah, who told Hezekiah he was not going to die. Hezekiah did not believe him and asked for a sign as proof, and Isaiah asked, shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Hezekiah replied, it is a light thing, which is a pun, a Hebrew idiom, for the shadow to go downward 10 degrees. I mean, it sets every day, right? And but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. 10 degrees is exactly 40 minutes. So you see, our Father gives us, and as I said, I was very privileged that about 6 months after this happened to read a handwritten report by the man it happened to. Does that still document it? Well, not really, but do you know something? I don't have any problem with the fact that the sun stood still because God's Word states it. And if I'm a believer of God's Word, I either believe that or I'm a fake. All right? So, if God says it, I have, after checking it out in the manuscripts, I have the habit, or the wish, better said, to believe it. After checking the translations and so forth to make sure that the Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic, whichever the case might be, was translated accurately. So, what do these things mean today? It's very interesting that Joshua, what does Joshua mean in the Hebrew tongue? It's Jesus. All right? It's Yeshua. The same as Hosea. Hosea, the prophet, is salvation in the Hebrew tongue. Joshua is Yeshua in the Hebrew. It's if you translate it to English, it's Jesus. So, would you guess that would be a type? Well, I would hope so. I would hope you would think so, you know, that the Father would use such a one. Naturally, he was a type. So what you find in the day that that sun stood still, you find a type of Hamagog, as well as Armageddon. And you know something? Those things are not too far to the future at this time. I truly believe that. So I think today we best, and rather than using 2 Kings chapter 20, we're going to go to Isaiah himself, chapter, not right now. We're going to do Joshua first. So you can be turning to the book of Joshua. But we're going to use Isaiah 38 rather than 2 Kings chapter 20 to document this, because I want to get it straight from the horse's mouth, that's to say Isaiah. I want to situate your minds, and as much as it might have been quite some time, Joshua had just took down the walls of Jericho. I mean, they come tumbling down. And he was having a lot of victories, and they began to get a little carried away with themselves. It's a sign that you want to be real careful of, because you can do the same thing today. They come up and they're going to take Ai, which is a heap in the Hebrew tongue, ruins. The old general says, hey boss, Joshua, you don't have to send a whole bunch out there. You don't have to send hardly any. We're going to go do it ourselves. They might have heard of some of David's exploits or something, but they were feeling big. That is to say, they were ignoring the fact that it was God that was winning the victories for them in the first place. And they begin to check the camp out as to how this could have begun, this deterioration of worshiping God and giving Him the credit. And they found that Achan had partaken of the accursed thing. The accursed thing is false religion or traditions of men. And any time you allow traditions of men to work into your life, friend, and you are not disciplining yourself in the Word of God, you're headed for a fall. You're going to go down. You are not going to be successful in serving the living God if you do not discipline yourself in the Word of God and see that the accursed thing stays out of your family, your home, your ministry, as best you can. And then give God the credit, and blessings will return to you, to your family, or to yourself, whatever level we're taking this. The reason I wanted to lay that groundwork, they had just learned a great lesson. You either do it God's way, or you don't do it. So Joshua, after they got their gourds thumped and 38 men killed and they ran like rabbits, God finally talked to Joshua, and then he did it as God stated, and they thumped Ai good, just like they did Jericho. So he's back in pretty good standings with God, except for one thing. And we'll pick that up in the 10th chapter of this book of Joshua. And we'll take the account and we'll see if we can find... He really flubbed. We'll see if we can find it here. I'm not going to say he really flubbed, but we had some faults here, okay? Chapter 10, verse 1, book of Joshua. Now, it came to pass when Adonizedek, that is to say, Lord of Justice, Zadok, or Zadok being justice, and Adonai being Lord, King of Jerusalem. He wasn't one of ours. All right, let me put that real clear. Had heard now how Joshua had taken Ai, this is to say after he did it God's way, and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king. And how the inhabitants of Gibeon is about 6 miles from Jerusalem. There's a closer road, more direct. Say like a bird flies, all right? 5 miles. had made peace with Israel and were among them too. That they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. There was even a few Geba among them. So they were looking for confederacies, allies, to go against the men of God. 3. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron. And I want you to note these names. Hoham is whom Yah impels. Watch. You know, when somebody claims to be something, if they're a stranger to you, it doesn't mean beans. All right? If you're disciplined in God's Word, doesn't mean you have to be a doubter. But as far as your knowledge is concerned, it's zip about them. There is spiritual discernment, thank God. But names mean nothing. You understand what I'm saying? Trickery. Satan uses every trick in the book. And unto Piram, king of Jarmuth. This means the fleet, the nimble, the high, from the high. And unto Japhia, that's a splendid king of Lachish, horse town. And unto Dikber, king of Eglon, saying, what were they saying? Now, these were our five main enemies, all right? Kind of like saying, all your enemies coming against you at once. In the type, that's the way you take it, all right? Joshua, as a type of Savior here, has this whole group, all the enemies, against him. 4. Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. They've gotten together. Get up here and help me, and let's defeat them. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king, and we'll forego the names again. I said, come on up, let's make war with them there at Gibeon, 5 miles out of Jerusalem, close enough that it was making him nervous. 6. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua, I mean, after all, their buddies, their allies, and Joshua has promised protection, no doubt, to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Now you might say, what has this got to do with me? A type means similar to what's happening to you. You better look around yourself. You better look at some of the larger cities. You better observe what's happening there. You'd better look at some of the religious wars around this world at this time. Go 5 miles from Jerusalem. Go 200 miles from Jerusalem, but keep your eyes open as to what's happening in Baghdad, which within it. We're going to be talking a lot about that 2 weeks from today. Don't miss it. But this has a lot to do with you, because this is how it happened, and God had these things to happen so that anyone that is wiser than the serpent knows that upon reading this, I know what's going to happen just before the Battle of Armageddon. So it better be important to you. Or sleep on sweet Charlotte. It's up to you. 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. I mean, it was hustle, armor on, clank, clank. They went all night. 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, now this is important. This is what you wait for. You don't jump up today and say, oh yeah, I see what's happening there and I see what's happening here and I'm going to get me a bunch of guns and I'm going to change this. Oh, you are. Oh, you are. You better wait till you hear from God. Because God wins our battles, okay? I say that to say, shun self-propelled, loose guns on the deck. Undisciplined, unkept, and unwise. always wait for this. What did God say to Joshua? Fear them not. There's a bunch of them over there. Don't worry about it. For I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now that's good news for a general going into battle, friend. I've been in a lot of combat that I would like to have had this delivered in person that way before the... Especially when we have the so-called Chosin Few up at the Chosin Reservoir, 16,000 Marines and 120,000 Chinese. I would have sure liked for the Lord to have appeared to me that morning and say, "Don't worry, Arnold. I'm going to defeat them and you're going out of here." For some reason that time He chose for us to defeat them. I have no doubt He was with us, because 16,000 doth not destroy 60,000 and only leave them 60,000 left over, you know, to carry away the dead 60,000. I don't know how I got into this, other than if you've ever been in combat, especially where it's real cold, you appreciate a word from God, all right? You understand what I'm saying? It's real easy for someone that's never been in combat, never heard a bullet, bling, you know, and you don't know if you're going to be here 1 minute or gone the next. And it makes good Christians, though. It really does. I won't get into war stories. I'm just saying, wait for the Word of God, all right? Wait for the Word of God. He said, what'd God say? Don't fear them. He said the same thing to you today, beloved, concerning this end generation. There are no giants out there. We are the giants. We have the power, because God, when we are in our weakness, takes over and gives us the victory. It's already written. And that's exactly the way it's going to come to pass. 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. I mean, it was, they weren't worried about expending their energy. They marched. Who wouldn't? They already had the victory. 10. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, that's to say the enemies, and slew them with a great slaughter. How did He do it? At Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, that's to say the house of the caverns, and smote them to Azekah. You all are familiar with Azekah. That's where David slew Goliath. All right? Are you a David? Do you have the courage that David had, knowing God's going to do it for you? You can walk out before a giant. God's going to kill him anyway. Understand what I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. I don't want some of you to walk out on the streets of Minneapolis and attack one of those gangs single-handed. Take a 357, all right? Bad humor, but good advice. This is where David conquered Goliath. I find all kinds of types involved in this that just thrill my heart, you know, where we have had the victory and still have it, all right? 11, and it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, the house of the caverns, remember, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died from with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Does that sound familiar to you? Do you understand why I call this a type of Haman, Gog, and Armageddon? It should. Because God lets it hail every once in a while, and He can raise a hailstorm anytime He chooses. All right? But seldom are they this big. All right, these were big rascals, just like Haman, Gog, and other places, okay? Now, Kansas people won't think much about this. They're used to hail all the time, but be that as it may. 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day which the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. I mean, they've got a lot of work to do, and if it gets dark and that bunch wises up and comes back, they're in trouble. Sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, both the sun and the moon, in the valley of Ajalon. It's the place of the gazelles where they were running. This should remind you of Matthew chapter 24, 29, when the sun and the moon change and the second advent takes place. All types of end time message in this event. Listen carefully. 13. And the sun stood still. Not maybe, not perhaps. The sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? Now, don't get all excited about some fake book. Jasher means upright. The book of the upright, it's in the book of Kings, all right? Moses was always called the upright one, all right? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about. Underline that in your mind. About a whole day. Not a whole day. 23 hours and 20 minutes. Is that right? Yes. 23 hours and 20 minutes. It held. And they had the victory. Does that say anything to you? What is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Do not worry, little ones, for you are children of the day, not the night. We're never in a night. In Christ, you're always in the light. That's why we have the victory. All right? Do you understand? Do you see that? Okay. 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it. One time deal. That the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Boy, did he fight for him. 15. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda, the place of the shepherds. Good name, huh? And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in the cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the men by it for to keep them. You guard them there. Make a tomb. 19. And say ye not, but pursue, and stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. Beloved, don't ever slack off on the enemy, but for heaven's sakes, know who your enemy is. Don't fight your mate. Don't argue with your family, unless they happen to be joined with the enemy. Remember discipline. It's real easy for an old Marine to talk discipline. It's well learned by Marines. And discipline is necessary in Christianity, or you're never really going to be a Christian, because God will cull out the undisciplined. He will. They're gone. He can't use them. Any man that has ever been in any authority at all in a combat situation where life and death is a matter that is very present abhors lack of discipline. It gets people killed. And it will get people lost and confused and mislead the unlearned if you do not discipline yourself in the Word of God. And it came to pass, verse 20, it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. 21, and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. They didn't dare. That means talk about them or sass them. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. What's happening here? The leaders of the world that are against God's children are being brought out. What are we going to do with them? Well, let's be sure and do the Christian thing. Well, Joshua means Jesus. Let's let him set the example. All right? This is the way you love your enemies. You love them enough that you correct them. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, 24. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel. All, not part. That means this is an important incident. And said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near. You come take a close look. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. That is a sign of victory. And it means that the enemy is totally submissive to you and you can cut off his jugular anytime you're ready. All right? You're ready for the kill. It means victory. It means that you're in a position where you can deliver a deadly blow to the head. And if you want to know how the deadly wound will take place, you probably just heard it. I'm not speaking literally. I'm speaking spiritually among world leaders. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. Most Christians would say, well, let's just pray for them. Let's just pray for them a while. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanged upon the trees until the evening. Next day, day after, the long day, and it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid. They're going to let them rest where they chose, okay? And lay great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain unto this day. And so it is. So it is. What does the sun remind you of? I want you to think for a moment. Think about the book of Ecclesiastes where it is written to the man that walks under the sun. That's a Hebrew idiom. What does it mean? It means you that walk in the flesh and serve God under the sun upon this earth. So when that sun stands still, it means a great deal to he that walks in the flesh as a sign, as a symbol of what is to be. 23 hours and 20 minutes. It stopped. It stopped cold. Now, in the scientific community, we have explanations, and I don't choose to go into that as to whether the earth stopped or the sun stopped. To me, at this point, for this lecture, doesn't matter. God took a day, or almost, and snatched it away. If he did, what does that make this day? I just say that to cause you to think for a moment. Everybody's so sure they know what day of the week it is, and how little they know about God's Word, okay? But it's good to listen to the scholars of wisdom, is it not? I know what this day is. Well, you can go to any religion, any calendar, if you've done research. I'm talking about deep research. And the first thing they're going to tell you is the calendar is the most confusing thing in the world that you can study. All right? So I just threw that in. Probably should not have. Call it digression if you choose. It's all right with me. But I'm just saying, just a little thought. All right. Where did the day go? And what does that make it today? Okay. So, there we have the Son stopped to give us the victory. We that walk under the Son in the flesh, naturally this is important. It happened as the hailstones fell just before the deadly wound and before the appearance of the second advent. Now, you might make a note if you're making notes of this and say you could read 20, but I'm taking you to Isaiah because I think it says it best. The great prophet Isaiah, because it was Isaiah that went to this one. And I'll do a lot better if I get over here in Isaiah instead of Ezekiel. Chapter 38. Now remember what's happened here. Old Hezekiah has been a pretty good king. This is just before the Assyrian captivity. Do you know what the Assyrian captivity was? That's when the 10 tribes went into captivity. Just about to happen, just about to go into captivity. And God says, Hezekiah, you're going to die tonight, this day. So this is the story. 38 verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He's about to die. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. In other words, symbolically, the Assyrian captivity is going to take place now on God's time plan. Now listen to my words. On God's time plan, the captivity should have happened then. 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto God. You want to hear a boy pray? This boy prayed. I mean, he shucked it right down to the cob and he began to shell corn. Oh, God. All right. Verse 3. And said, Remember now, O Lord, don't forget, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. He's probably stretching things there a little bit, but he's trying, all right? And have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I mean, he repented. I mean, he got right down there where the rubber meets the road, got rid of his sins, and then God would mark him as perfect. What did he do? 4. What we're doing here, we're going to pick up that other 40 minutes, all right? That's what we're doing here in case you're wondering about it. Verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go. Now, this is what you want to wait for, my friend. This is important. Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, meaning the heritage is being brought into this, the key of David, in other words. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Underline it in your mind. 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it. You've got 15 more years. That was 15 years after God had intended it happen. Now listen to me. Do you know what that reminds me of as a type? The sealing of Revelation 7. The four winds were ready to blow and bring about the end. Death. Gone. And prayers and supplication went forth and said, Wait! Why am I saying that? You that like to play with numbers, like if you like the days of Daniel to play with numbers, I would add 15 years. All right? Because God does it His way. He gave us this as a sample, and He did so much as He's going to not only stop the sun, He's going to shift that sucker in reverse and go back 10 degrees. All right? It's important. And then you might say, Oh, 15 years. Okay? Well, that's what it says. 50 more years before the tribes went into captivity. The king of Babylon's coming, my friend. Better add 15 years to it. Suggestion. Well, let's say as an example, and I'm not a date setter, and I don't want anyone in here to say I set a date, all right? I just teach you a formula. Like, this is 1982. Should have been a very interesting time. If you had 15 years to 1982, I don't even have a pencil or a calculator, and it gets dangerous when I do this up here. But 97, I wanted you to do it, all right? Wanted you to do it. So, about 1997, I'd say, well, if that's 40 minutes, then how much is 23 hours? In other words, I'd think about it real good. That's what I'm saying. A lot of things enter into it. But think about it, all right? Think about it. This is a type. This is a sign. And a sealing had to be done. Thank God we went on television about 1982. Interesting. Very interesting. The sealing must take place. All right? 15 years, verse 6. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. 7. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord. And the Lord will do this that he has spoken. Not maybe, not perhaps. He will do it. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward, 40 minutes, friend. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. It did it. And he knew. And yeah, he had 15 years added to that. And it would be exactly at that time, approximately, that the king of Assyria would come. Do you know what he did after God so blessed him, though? Do you know what he did? It's important. He's a type. He's worried about the king of Assyria. That's all he can think about. But nestled back over here, just out of sight, he's getting these letters from the king of Babylon saying, I hope you feel better today, my good buddy. You are such a sweet person that we just have our prayers wishing you the best. And, of course, Isaiah went out and got some fig cakes and slapped it on him and out popped the boil, and the old boy was in good shape, all right? I mean, the parable of the fig tree will help you a bunch with that if you like types. Okay, it made him well. But do you know? Talk about lack of discipline. And I'm asked many times, what are we going to teach in the millennium if everybody knows the word? Discipline. That's what it is. I mean, we take names and we teach. And we get the point across. That's what the millennium is going to be about. It's not a great thing to know the word. It is a great thing to know the word. But it would seem that the trouble with man is doing it. Discipline. Do you know what he did? Chapter 39, verse 1. He's healed. At that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Biladan, king of Babylon. Now, you all know what the king of Babylon is a type of, don't you? All right? Satan sent letters and a present. Oh, my, isn't that sweet? To Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick. Send him a get well card on my royal stationery. That'll impress him. And was recovered. Wonderful. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house. What did he do? Listen to me. And showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment. And all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. It's the king of Babylon we're talking about here, friend. I mean, God just healed him and racked the sun back 10 degrees, and he's showing off and bragging in front of the king of Babylon. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. I'm so precious. God, just heal me. Put a fig cake right there. It just popped right out. And I'm doing good and great. And God loves me so much, I don't have to worry about it. I can do anything I want to. Just look what God has blessed me with. Look at my pretties. There's just one problem. They were God's pretties. They were the sacred vessels. And he's got trash, filth, traditions of men looking in upon that that was holy. Discipline, my friend. Do you know what God did because of this? Next time you start bragging on your pretty boat, think about this, all right? I've just used that as an example. Enjoy your boat. But if you have me over, don't say, look at her. Oh, well. Hey. Okay. This what happened. Okay. And even, I see, let's take three. I got lost here. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and he said unto them, these prophets, these teachers have always got to show up, haven't they? Rascals. What said these men? Question. And from whence came they unto thee? Question. And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Yeah. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? Question. And Hezekiah answered, all that is mine. He should have said God's, all right? He didn't have nothing. And don't worry, God will fix that too. All that is mine in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. I let every secret out of the bag. Let Satan know what you're doing, friend. Go ahead and tell him. You know, let him know. Or let some person into your midst that is looking for self-gain rather than the work of God. Discipline again. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of you have a ministry of some sort. It may just be a smile. But don't let someone rob you of that. All right? Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. This is what you wait for? Yep, you wait for the word of God. What's it going to be? Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Interesting, what? It would be 200 years later. Prophecy is prophecy. Types, signs. Learn from them instead of learning the hard way. In chapter 40, it would be that wonderful chapter which states, to show you the announcement of the coming, the second coming. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare, her hard service, better translated, is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double of all her sins. The voice of him that crieth from the wilderness, John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord, go straight in the desert the highway of God. Discipline. Think about it. Signs, 15 years, well, what an interesting sign God gave us in this. And never forget, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, Paul teaching, these things happened as an example, whereby you would know what would befall you at the end of the world. It's up to you. 15 years. 23 hours and 20 minutes, add 40. We got 24 hours, a solar day. Solar is the calendar our Father goes by, not moons or months like people do. Solar, for we are children of light. That's why our Passover rarely ever matches with anyone else's, because we set it on the solar calendar. Why? Satan is a child of night. Months is the moon. The light are the children of God. So follow his signs. whereby you're not off track a quarter turn. Because I don't know how many of you have ever tried to put a bearing on a shaft, but if you're a quarter off around, it won't go, friend. Discipline in your Father's Word. The day the sun stood still. What an example that must have been. What about the hailstones? Well, let me tell you something. It's going to happen again. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written Word. We thank you, Father, for your examples whereby you warn us and teach us and show us. It is always your Word that we want to lead us, Father. Let us know it is a pleasure to serve thee, Father. Touch these your people. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.